Greetings. Welcome to In Conversation with Trevor, brought to you by Heart and Soul Broadcasting Services. I go beyond the headlines and beyond the sensational. Today, I'm in conversation with Gary Thompson, the Chief Encouragement Officer at Gary Thompson and Associates. If you enjoy this conversation, remember to subscribe, to like, and to share. Let's get down to some work.
Passion is a great indicator for purpose. And when I lose the passion for something, I go to where it's flowing. I've been emboldened, I guess, by the murder of Charlie Kirk to say it's enough now. Mm. We as believers are not defined by I'm an ad guy or a white guy. Mm. I'm a believer. To the black man in America, he might have been speaking, take responsibility at the home level, because fatherlessness is the greatest pandemic. It's destroying.
Gary Thompson, Chief Encouragement Officer. What a title. I love it. Welcome to In Conversation with Trevor.
It's beautiful to be with you this side of the couch. That's where I used to be. So congratulations, Trevor, also to you for pioneering this new frontier of conversations, also in your career. We've seen it. Well done.
Talking about careers, you looking back at your 30 years. It's 30 years, eh? 30 years plus. What lessons has life taught you? I'll tell you why I asked that question, because, you know, life has taught me a lot of things. Life demands so much from us. Mm. The beauty is God has placed everything you need inside of you. And sometimes you need seasons to come and go so that you pour out your all. I've been betrayed, stabbed in the back. I have failed. I've lost lots of money. And I don't know whether I've done some stabbing or what, but we tend to remember what happened to us rather than what happened to other people. But this is what I can say. I'm still standing, not because of anything I can take credit for, but because my God has been faithful to me during the highs and the lows, and mostly during the lows. My intimacy with my Creator has gotten stronger when I'm staggering, when I feel I'm not enough, when His grace is sufficient. When I'm weak, He is strong. What has life taught you?
Well, I think that's the show right there. I mean, thanks, folks. Thanks for watching Conversations. That's been Trevor. I think you've summed it up in so many ways. I love the Psalms of David. And as you're speaking, I'm going back to being a young boy in Marlborough, like a little shepherd boy in the sheep pens. And innate in me was this sense of calling. And I think our calling is bigger than our circumstances, even if our circumstances go from mountains to valleys. And perhaps that's what you're coming to and coming into through all the pain, the betrayals. And I would ditto that in my own life. Yes. I don't know how I'd be standing without my faith.
Take me to, you've had low moments. You know, I was touched reading a story about you hitting the bottom and you're saying, 2017, the economy has not been kind to me as I have had to liquidate and sell some of my properties. After I lost some of my accounts, some deals went bad, April 30. How bad did this get?
I think it was clouded by my own confidence and sense of optimism and things will get better. And the rules of the game that I played this game, poker by, if you will, changed. So where I'd give credit and trust that the money will come, I know NetOne's going to pay, which they always did, but I'm going to have to wait 90 days, 120 days, just being real practical. I was like,
This is Zim dollar.
This is Zim dollar.
It loses value every day.
You reprice for it. You have a way of playing the game. But the what, and I think I learned this principle, what gave me or what gives us sometimes success, the formula, may shift a technology can come in, digital marketing, social media, the currency can change, the environment shifts, I'm too heavy, I've got too much staff, I've planned that we're going to have offices all over Africa, we're going to grow at 200%, and suddenly the opposite happens, and a few people don't pay, I'm over-leveraged, I've been overly optimistic, I haven't made facts my friends, I've been in love with my dream, and I got punished. Some of it was politics, some of it was economics, but through it all, the principles that I held on to, the church that I was in, almost having a rabbi walking you through, not holding your hand like some little uncourageous kid, but saying you're going to have to go through this. But that was what men and women have had to do through ages. But the good book gave me guidance, and we came through. I had to liquidate. I didn't want to owe people. I've got a little bit of debt left, but God's been good to me, being able to keep some assets. But we're now recreating, and my sons are rising. It's Trevor, it's a new day.
Your sons are rising. It's a new day. But I want to press the pain so that people learn that we don't avoid the pain. We go through the pain. We survive through the pain. I read somewhere where you say you're playing a golf tournament. You said, I had to buy secondhand golf balls because I could not buy new golf balls. That's a low point.
I took joy that no matter what the circumstance, I was going to make the most of it and not be a victim, but have victory by the confession of my mouth. And it unleashed in me a joy to, for example, I couldn't afford a caddy, so I'd go running around golf course. And a Royal Harare for 4 years, I'd have four clubs running and then run home because I thought, God, when I get to 50, I could turn pro and make a fortune on the Champions Tour. And everyone was like, go for it, go for it. Then I keep missing it by a shot and I'm so close, but the dream doesn't get the bridge and I'm still in this no man's land valley, but I can see it coming. The deep day of pain was one day rising out of my bed and knowing that the $200,000 from another client was going to default. And now we were hundreds in and no way out. And I did not know at that point of despair, how do I get through this? But I knew the principles that got you here are going to get you through. And I thank God for great friends. Pastor Tom, he's my mentor, he's a teacher, he's my pastor. And the Jewish background that I come from, I'm a Messianic Jew, Trevor, so I accept all the Old Testament, but I believe Christ is the Messiah. And as I started to read again what David went through, I said, I can get through this. Mm-hmm. And I started to confess it. And then you get a little victory, then another victory, then a breakthrough. And I've lived my life on that. It did take a toll. It cost a marriage. It cost opportunities, but today I'm richer for it. And relationships are still there, and you got to go through the pain, but there's gain at the end.
Yeah. So talk to me about the gain in terms of the lessons, the takeaway from this pain. You're bruised, you've got the scars. What lessons are you walking away with from this season?
I think this gospel has been so misaligned. I know we've got for-profit prophets out there selling magic oil for this or a prayer for that. We've just had 70, I believe, massacred Christians in Mozambique. We've got Congo. We've got Nigeria. But the world's in love with Gaza. That's another story. My point is this. It's not a fair world, and our lives won't necessarily be a fair journey. But whatever comes, we're going to pass through.
Life isn't fair. Who said life was fair?
And it can be unfairly good to you. I remember a day, Trevor, looking at cars, choosing which one I was going to get. And I said, no, I won't do that. I'll put that into property. Thank God I did. So I do have an end game in mind. This world's going to end. I'm starting to see some great colleagues of mine. You remember Michael Hogg? Bump into him the other day, an older man today, a doyen of advertising. His wife looking after him is this gracious, beautiful woman. I'm like, that's my end. How many years left have I got? 23, 33, 53, whatever. Some have got 3 years, 3 months. You don't know how much time you've got left. Neither do I. I want to maximize every moment. And My life is lived vicariously with the joy of others too, the people I've worked with. I remember sitting and hearing about you buying the newspaper group as a young editor. You were respected. There were a few great editors we've had. You were one of them. And I look at what you've done in your life. I've seen these conversations. I'm like, that's what I want to do. But I'll say this is one of the secrets. Know your season. That season flipped for me. I was like, I want to do it, but it's closed. The door's closed. My heart is moving. So I'd say passion is a great indicator for purpose. And when I lose the passion for something, I go to where it's flowing.
Wow.
That's a lesson.
Wow. And as I'm listening to you, I'm reminded that in the season that we go through, sometimes God lifts his grace from things that you've been doing and your heart ceases to be there. It's important that you move at that particular moment. But I think also the lesson for all of us is that like trees, which go through the four seasons and remain standing with leaves, without leaves, in dryness, and when it's wet, the resilience to be grounded and to have the strong roots. Where have your roots been that have kept you going?
I'd say the Word of God primarily. My late mother, who was arguably and acknowledged as such the finest classical musician ever out of Africa, possibly globally, she was unbelievable, played in China, Russia, in the Cultural Revolutions from Zimbabwe's transitions. She got invited. And she gave me this little green NIV Bible, and I used to hand out tracts to people on the streets. And I just had a heart for the nation, but it came from this gospel. I saw my Jewish brothers and what they had created in this nation, the first golf course that accepted black people.
Wingate.
Stan Barron, my uncle, who was one of the captains there. And we sometimes don't acknowledge what's been done for us. We see the victimhood. We go back to liberation war. We see the pain, but we don't see the opportunity that is with us right now. I think it's happening. So to answer your question, I saw in the scriptures that this band of Israelis were not a tiny little insignificant group. They were standing against every pagan, hostile nation of the world. And yet God gave them a promise from Genesis 12 all the way through. And that's why today United Nations can have more resolutions against them than any other people. Probably won't even talk about some massacres in Africa. But what God has spoken is going to take place. And I've been emboldened, I guess, by the murder of Charlie Kirk to say it's enough now. We as believers are not defined by I'm an ad guy or a white guy. I'm a believer. It means that I'm already linked with you in heart and soul. I can go to Bahera. I can go anywhere. I'm linked with people of the same faith. But then you say, but Gary, you play golf with Muslims and people that are on the LGBT whatever side, and you've even got family members. And I'm like, listen, love compels. It's a compelling force. So I don't want to get caught into, hey, I'm going to hate and stay at the problem level. I'm going to love and look to the solution level in my own life because I know my own failings. So that's what's helped me.
I'm going to take you to task over the Charlie Kirk issue, because I it's wrong that he was murdered. I fear that in the reaction to the murder, we forget the things that this man used to say about black people, about women, the racism that used to come to. Can we differentiate the two and say the man was murdered, it was not right, but certain things that he stood for? I have a problem when Christianity says, when a Christian says blacks were okay in the 1940s in America when they were slaves, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things that Charlie Kirk said which don't sit right with me as a Christian. How do you respond to that?
You know what I love about this conversation is it's real.
Yeah.
So my first, just for the viewer, my first emotion being a male and trying to be an alpha male is, what the hell, Trevor? What the hell? No. The first thing I've got to do is listen to my own soul and to what you've just spoken. I don't know those conversations that he spoke of. Extrapolating, I'm assuming that he's talking about the hundreds of thousands of Americans who died to fight the Civil War to get America free to the point that you're talking about. I think that he'd be talking about that America is the greatest democratic experiment in modern history, possibly ever, and its laws are solid and good, not dispossessing what the black man has gone through. I would submit, I haven't heard those ones, but from the more recent, his love of people, his love of truth, his love of saying, for example, American institutions have become so liberal and have gone so woke and have broken down so badly and have mutilated men and women to such a point that we're not dealing with the core issues of family. It's a father and mother, a husband
and
a wife.
The woman.
This is the seedbed of civilization. We're in a incubated place. A life is given an opportunity to live. It is not offered to Molech or Chemosh, as were done in pagan societies where the youth were butchered and thrown away, or albinos in our society were thrown into ant heaps. We start to look at our young as opportunities, not as inconveniences. You know, so I would say that he might have said, and I'll finish with this, which is quite provocative, to the black man in America, he might have been speaking, take responsibility at the home level, because fatherlessness is the greatest pandemic. It's destroying. I look at my own kids. If dad wasn't around through the season, Trev, and I was playing golf, I don't know what we'd be as a family.
I think from what you're saying, this is what social media has done, creating social media ghettos where we hear what we want. I'm surprised that you haven't heard the things that you said about slavery and that kind of stuff. So we tend to go to the place where we click like and share, and we don't get to see the uncomfortable truth. But that is it, May. I didn't bring you here to discuss.
No, I don't mind that. And I'm glad.
Your father, Craig, was a golfer. Was he a big influence for you in terms of taking up golf?
Huge. Well, Bernard is his name, but Bernard won Mashonaland, Barter Power. I don't know if he won a Rhodesia Open back in the day, but golf gave him his way out.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
And at Warren Hills, I said this to my good friend Ken Sharp, the Thompson family probably won more than anybody over the generations. And the greats like Peter Makovich were there, and the Nicky Prices and Dennis Watsons, and you've got the David Ledbetters coming from that seedbed. And my father got a job from being a butcher into a paint business, Astra Paints. And then I got my first job with him. Nepotism works. But I said, I'm gonna do this thing. And we put 23 TV ads out with our team at ZTV, and we pioneered a whole new type of sponsorship television. He had a profound impact on me. But my dad came to this nation deformed and bruised. He came out of a union growing England. His family was very wealthy. He left it all, came with £5 in his pocket, worked at the butcheries, and then from the example got a job. And he was a great salesman. I think I get some gift of oratory from him, but he was a man of integrity. And when I was down, I had to sell his house to get out. But I felt it was the right thing to do, and my dad would want that to be done. And when he passed away at 12 in Marlborough, my brother and I, at 8 a.m., we're at Dairy Board pitching to land the business, and we got it. And I said, that's what Dad would have wanted. Let the dead bury their dead, not to dismiss that. So parents, profound impact. The thing that I am mad at Dad on is that he was offered 1% of a major holding company from the family business, and he said no. I'd be worth millions today.
How did you then go into marketing, television, broadcasting, communication, away from what your dad had taught you?
I'd carry golf bag at Warren Hills, and it's just a great story of how that led.
Carry his bag.
I'd carry his bag, literally on the trolley. And from Warren Hills, I looked at these older members, and I said, I can beat them. So I started to hit a golf ball. At 13, I went to our high school at Marlborough High, and I said, a short time later, sir, do you mind if I start a golf club? And I think Mr. Verkey said to me, you're not a poofter, are you? And sorry, guys. And I said, I resent that. And I said, no, it's just I'm not as big as all these other white and black males running at me with this oval ball that I have no interest in. But I can hit a ball through that post 200 meters away. And I started a golf club. And then I rose to number one in the country in junior. Then I became number one in the country just as a junior. And my whole world was golf. I was going to go and turn pro and be like Nikki Price, all from that seedbed of my father. Now, from there, I get a scholarship. At the scholarship level, I'm ready to go All-American. My teammate wins the NC2As. He beats Phil Mickelson, and I go backwards. Trevor, I can't make a team. I start doubting myself. I start working on mechanics. That's why when I have the privilege of working with the president on the putting green, I want everyone away. Let His Excellency just enjoy this moment as a young kid. Can everyone just go away? Because I go back to those moments. If I'm doing a lesson with someone, I want to go back to origins. And that's a whole different thing on branding. Origins, who we are. Well, I remembered who I was, and who I was this little kid in the library in the United States, not going to Honolulu or Hawaii, not partying with all these women and whatever was happening, missing my homeland, crying out as I did at 8 years old at Dudley Hall, why are we fighting a war? Why is independent Africa not going forward? What are the roots to who am I? I can't be defined purely as white. And so I started to study the Rhodesia War, which led me to then meet Ian Smith. I was petrified. I thought CIO was going to follow me. He sat me down like you, and I had a conversation with them. And that led me to then meet war vets and men and women who'd lost their family members in the war. And I literally could cry now. None of them would do it again. Then I fast forward, because life is this timeline, but you don't live it linear, to His Excellency saying at some function, 1973 was the cutoff time. The cutoff time, I'm like, oh my God, in 73, why didn't we? Why didn't we? And I'm seeing black and white. I'm seeing civil war. I'm seeing America. I'm seeing Black Lives Matter. I'm seeing Black Lives Matter. That's the most absurd statement I've ever heard. You're going to impoverish the black man by taking that liberal, so-called liberal line. You're going to say the black man's not equal. I want to shout out and say I've had five children. Dr. Majunja was our gynecologist, not a white gynecologist, not having the kids in England, right here. And he saved Bianca's life. And the nurses, I have always believed the solutions were here. So it went back into my past. I'm searching for this. And I'm thinking, am I a golfer? Am I this? I'm trying to work out identity. I leave college. I don't want to be in America. And my late father says, please, will you go with Roger Bayliss and support marketing the Zimbabwe Open? That was my death knell. Because I knew the minute I go on that side of the camera, I'm no longer playing. But I worked with our boys at ZTV. They didn't know which way the tee or the green was. But Trevor, I loved the people. I loved the technical. I loved what was in them. And we took the Zimbabwe Open, and this is answering your question, from 45 minutes to 2.5 hours of live broadcast with 6 hours of other things. And I thought, I can do this. But while I was on the golf course, no one could do the interviews. I said, I'll do it. If you're out there right now, be ready for your I'll do it moment, because it isn't at college. It's at that how to write a screenplay.
But so you already had been taught at your university. Which university did you go to?
I was in Colorado. Then I finished at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, where some great
people. You were doing what courses?
Business.
Okay. So it wasn't journalism. It wasn't broadcasting.
No.
But you simply said, I'm going to do it.
The passion to find the story, like you're doing right now. To delve in, why did we fight a war? What is the solution? Why? And that led to then those questions that led to me asking questions. And then that led to me years later starting One-on-One. Because before Amai Chisamba, before all of that, I was like, why aren't we not talking about each other's successes? Nick Price was one of my heroes. And so that started that whole journey to celebrate the stories of our success.
We're going to take a break then. When we come back, don't go away. I want us to go to the place of the thinking behind one-on-one. What is that all about? But much more importantly, what was the thinking process when we established Gary Thompson and Associates? What was the thinking process? There's a young man who's watching you right now who's thinking, I want to start a business. You've already said you didn't have the training, but you had the passion for asking the questions, the passion for pointing the camera. There's a young man who's sitting there not knowing what to do, but they're passionate about something. So when we come back, don't go away. We'll go to those places. See you on the other side.
Passion, purpose, and profit. Basically, what are you good at? Well, what do you love? And what will people pay you for?
Africa leadership faces unprecedented challenges. Every decision is scrutinized. Every action is amplified. Every crisis can define your legacy. Zimbabwe is a nation in crisis. Our continent faces complex realities. But denial is more dangerous than crisis itself. At Trevor & Associates, we believe strategic communication is the foundation of effective leadership. Communication, when done strategically, is leadership. It is action. It is behavior. It is clarity when the world is confused. It is dignity when the world is divided. Your reputation is your most valuable asset and your most vulnerable. In a digital age where one post can undo decades of credibility, we don't just manage reputation, we build resilience. Crisis is no longer a probability, it is a certainty. The question is, how prepared will you be when it arrives? Ethical lobbying is essential to democracy and progress. We help you advocate effectively, not with bluster, but with research, relationships, and respect. If you are not shaping the conversation, you are being shaped by it. In an era demanding accountability, responsible business practices aren't optional. They are essential. We help organizations align profit with purpose, ensuring sustainability and stakeholder trust. Doing good is not just morally right. It is good for the bottom line and long-term success. For over 36 years, Trevor has built relationships across the globe, helping leaders navigate complexity with integrity. We listen before we speak. We understand before we advise. We serve with sincerity, sound judgment, and commitment to ethical leadership. Trevor and Associates. We help you build narratives that uplift, protect what you've built, amplify your values in a world hungry for substance and sincerity. Trevor and Associates, your strategic partner, your narrative architect, your advocate in the corridors of power. Trevor and Associates, building resilient leaders for a changing Africa.
Welcome back to our conversation with Gary Thompson, the Chief Encouragement Officer at Gary Thompson and Associates. I am big on purpose, Gary, and I realize that all of us, most of us, battle about purpose. Have I found my purpose? Is this what I should be doing? And your life, to me, answers that question. And this is, you're growing up, you're carrying bag for your dad. You go to university, you try and become a professional golfer. It doesn't happen. You end up living a life in advertising, TV shows, broadcasting and communication. This is not what you thought you would do, but you got comfortable with it and you got exceedingly successful doing this. Talk to me about that reality shift. I'm going to be a golfer. I'm going to train to be a golfer. I'm good at it. And then turns out you're not. You're actually a good communicator. Talk to me about that. Because there's somebody sitting out there. What's my passion?
Right.
What is my purpose? How do I find my purpose?
Right. And I can see your passion for the people out there. And I love that. I'd say there are three things. A great book, Jim Collins, Good to Great. It's worth reading. Help me understand passion, purpose, and profit. Basically, what are you good at? Well, what do you love? And what will people pay you for? Mm. So if there's a young man, young woman out there, same principle in a big corporate, what will people fiscally, financially, monetarily value for and pay? So that's a good measure because people aren't fools. And it would really help that you enjoy doing what you do.
Yeah.
And here's another layer. It's not what just I think I'm good at, Trevor. It's what do you say I'm good at? So I can tell you, let me tell you about this, but you're going in a different direction and you're talking about that. And then purpose, I think originality, the authentic center, I've always believed, and it grew with me, that brands are lived on the inside, but seen on the outside. In other words, our image is built on our identity. And I think in the very first book of the scriptures, Genesis, in the beginning, God created, and you get this whole creative story. So creativity is something that ignited me. Mm. And I'd submit to the young person, old person out there, especially if you're old, there is a passion and a power called creativity. And it can recreate, it can rebirth, it can refire, it rekindles in you, it reforms, if you will, that which is in you. It takes a seed. You need something in. You have to sow something in. And you have to have facts as your friends. I said that earlier. So the fact was I wasn't in the USA. The fact was I was honoring and obeying my mother and father, not wanting to go and do a TV interview, not wanting to market golf, but to play it in the Zimbabwe Open. But when I did the commentary, it flowed. I could see how to make money on the commissions on that 16% with ADMA, although I wasn't yet registered. And I was able to negotiate with the committee. Could I get some benefits from the sponsors if I help make this bigger? And I suddenly found a way to go through this golf business, sports marketing into, hang on, I can do ads. I can do TV shows. And there was a great TV show back in the day. Our parents used to watch it called Dallas, where America looked like this shining light. Well, there was another one called LA Law, and I knew it would work. And I got Astro Paints to sponsor that, Zimnet to come in at 50-50, gave airtime to ZTV so they could make some money, reduced my media bill, and we pioneered sponsorship television. And then we produced many more ads. It was a pre-social media model because instead of one ad that was 60 seconds or 90 seconds, which you could charge a fortune to a client, I'd do shorter versions. Mm. But they always expected the big, long one. Well, now we know media communications changed. Mm. It's flick, flick, flick. But what I sensed was move to the opportunity. So if there's an opportunity in your life, number two, after passion, purpose, and profit, move to opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. If Trevor says, may I interview you, or better have a conversation with you, I'm the privileged one. Now, it's no longer just about me. It's may someone's life be touched. May I provoke a black man being a white man to say, you don't know how brilliant you are, how beautiful you are, but stop looking at the outside. Look at what's on your inside and let's take that on the outside. Mm. That's why I'm a total fan of where Zimbabwe could go if we were honest with ourselves.
Mm. We'll go there because I notice you're very passionate about that. But before doing that, what was the thinking? Talk us through, because I love inspiring the young people. Mm. And building businesses is something that I'm passionate about. And young people starting new businesses. Walk us through your thought process when you were going through the season. I want to start Gary Thompson and Associates. What was the thinking process? What were the building blocks of that?
Got my first job doing market research. Cairns Foods wanted to know about coffee. They wanted three questions. I did 26, right down to employee satisfaction numbers. I got called into the chairman's office. I think his name was Tim Johnson. And he said, what?
Tim Johnson. Oh, yeah. Love the team.
You know the Tim.
Yeah.
He said, what the hell have you done? You've created a crisis of expectations, product development. And my point is this. I couldn't stop the passion. The energy flowed. I loved the opportunity. Take whatever opportunity you get and super serve your way out. If I'm doing a function, I love to give more than maybe what is bare minimum. Mm. Why? Mm. Because it's not just about them. It's about me. This is my church. Mm-hmm. This is how I serve God. Mm. I kind of sense I'm not meant to be at the pulpit. Mm. I'm meant to be with guys having a glass of wine whose marriage is in trouble, a guy who's about to do X or Y, and just to be a listening ear. And to come back to how you start your business, start with what you have. Mm. What's in your hand?
What did you have? Let's be practical. Gary Thompson and Associates, what did you have?
I had a market research project that I tried to achieve highly on. It gave me the opportunity to go to Astro Paints and talk to them about marketing. Their brands hadn't changed in 20 years. We were nation moving. And I said, I'll produce all this, all that packaging right the way. There were 21 different elements of marketing we did, from research to point of sale, hardware stores. I'd go and take Dulux off the shelf, put Astro Paints in that point. I wanted to be involved in everything. And that passion led to, I can do it. And then I hadn't got a clue in God's earth how. But I had creative. I had the ability to sell. And then I went out and found some guys to help that happen. So super serve your way out, because anyone can put a extra product on the street corner. But to say hello, get credit, come see me tomorrow, like the vendor across the road from me, you'll grow. So I would say start with what you have. And it was a garage. I asked my dad if I could have the garage. So he took the car out and I started the garage. And he took the packing that the car that he bought for mom. I used that as the shelves. And then I hired my first mornings only lady. And Corrine was great. Then our first designer. And it just grew and grew. And I remember
the funding.
No,
where
funding.
Did that come from?
No funding. I used every dollar that came in, went back into the business, and I had a sense that if I tithe, that's my marketing campaign, that's my marketing budget. God, you got to make this thing grow, and we did. We grew. I remember my first 90,000. I didn't even know how much to charge.
So I'm going to press you because I want to be practical. What about the young men watching you right now, saying, "I don't have the money, I don't have the garage."
Right.
What do you say to them? The one to start.
Do you want a real story?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't mention names because I don't know the names. I'm with a good friend. He just hosted some people. They're in the top 20 wealthiest European families. They're in the multiple billions. So multiply Strive, multiply any other name you want around you. They're in stratosphere. They've just stayed with him and I stayed with him wherever he stays. And one of the founders is afraid to sleep at night. And he's old. Other day, I went and saw a young man, like the camera crews that are here, do stuff. Young man, you don't know. Young woman, you don't know how much energy you have. That as you get older, you don't have that energy. So for goodness sake, capitalize on it and get off that flipping phone, flipping, flipping, flipping. What flipping, flipping new information are you going to flipping get? Go and get out there, human to human. You can't be replaced, and do something that is going to super serve you out with a smile and look for an opportunity. And then you'll find out that you might actually be good, not just as a gardener watering flowers, but you can fix taps. Next thing, you're fixing plumbing. Next thing, you might become a plumber. And then you'll understand, oh, if I charge X, I can get double the jobs. And if I charge Y, the money will come. Be integrous. It works. That's what I'd say.
Beautiful. Love that. Love that. I couldn't have said it better myself. And one-on-one, what was the thinking process?
As I said, I could see success in Zimbabwe brewing, and that even with tainted figures like a Robert Mugabe, there was a determination in this man to stand against the world. I'm like, determination is a force. It's a power. We need more determination. Imagine a young woman says to the young man, "No, I'm not sleeping with you. I'm not doing this." Well, suddenly that determination is why. Where did it come from? Robert, where did you get that, young man, as a headmaster? These things intrigue me. Gary, where'd you get this drive? Maybe it's because I'm smaller. I'm a Marlboro boy. I wasn't part of the rich guys. So I want to prove I can do it. But I think I had a determination to say, hang on, Zimbabwe's on the road here to somewhere. And we're getting success, but we're not recognizing it. And that was my inspiration. Obviously commercial. I wanted all the money.
Of course.
But
well, there's got to be a commercial thing, but commercial can't be the overriding thing. Am I right?
It's one of the three.
Yeah.
What do you love? What are you good at? What can you do that has purpose? And what could bring a profit?
Which one is the outstanding one-on-one that you had that you still remember?
Oh, man, the one that makes me smile. Andy, oh, my gosh. The one that hit me was going with the world's first heart surgeon, Dr. Christian Barnard, to Mother of Mercy, Mother of Peace Mission. Seeing this man, he had broken many hearts physically. He was a handsome man. A lot of relationships, but he was so humble and he had come to the end of his life and he wanted to give and he was very gentle. And it reminded me matters of the heart matter, not just matters of the head. And it touched me. There were many others, but that was one.
Andy Brown, Ilanga, and
of course, Tuku. Tuku was so open with me, went out to Norton. It was those were special, intimate times.
We will take a break here. When we come back, I want us to go to "We Bring Vision," your tagline, your payoff line. Where did it come from? When you sit back, do you get a sense that you're able to bring vision? And what are the celebrated, what are the brands that stand out for you that you've worked with? What are the campaigns, rather, that stand out for you that you've worked on? So at home, don't go away. This is an amazing, amazing conversation. I'm enjoying it myself. I'm going to watch it myself. Eh? So when you come back, we're going to go to that place. So see you on the other side.
We have to get our hospitals right, etc. And to that also, I need to say thank you to Dr. Tagbure, because without his hospital, I would have been dead.
Hmm.
He didn't know me. I didn't know him.
Africa leadership faces unprecedented challenges. Every decision is scrutinized. Every action is amplified. Every crisis can define your legacy. Zimbabwe is a nation in crisis. Our continent faces complex realities. But denial is more dangerous than crisis itself. At Trevor and Associates, we believe strategic communication is the foundation of effective leadership. Communication, when done strategically, is leadership. It is action. It is behavior. It is clarity when the world is confused. It is dignity when the world is divided. Your reputation is your most valuable asset and your most vulnerable. In a digital age where one post can undo decades of credibility, we don't just manage reputation, we build resilience. Crisis is no longer a probability, it is a certainty. The question is, how prepared will you be when it arrives? Ethical lobbying is essential to democracy and progress. We help you advocate effectively, not with bluster, but with research, relationships, and respect. If you are not shaping the conversation, you are being shaped by it. In an era demanding accountability, responsible business practices aren't optional. They are essential. We help organizations align profit with purpose, ensuring sustainability and stakeholder trust. Doing good is not just morally right. It is good for the bottom line and long-term success. For over 36 years, Trevor has built relationships across the globe, helping leaders navigate complexity with integrity. We listen before we speak. We understand before we advise. We serve with sincerity, sound judgment, and commitment to ethical leadership. Trevor and Associates. We help you build narratives that uplift, protect what you've built, amplify your values in a world hungry for substance and sincerity. Trevor and Associates, your strategic partner, your narrative architect, your advocate in the corridors of power. Trevor and Associates, building resilient leaders for a changing Africa.
Welcome back to our conversation with Gary Thompson, Chief Encouragement Officer for Gary Thompson and Associates. You said earlier on, Gary, that you are in transition. And you enjoying seeing your sons, your children. You've got five of them, eh? Doing beautiful things. I sat in this room with one of your sons, and I went to my wife and said, "It's such a beautiful thing to be a father and have kids like that. Amazing children that you've got."
Thank you.
Talk to me about this season, this transition that you're going through. What is it looking like? What does it feel like? How old are you, by the way?
57.
57. Sounds like that's your third season, your fourth season. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, is it a throw third? A few bankruptcies in there, you lose count, you know.
Yeah.
The transition is to freedom. There's a freedom now that I haven't had for a long time, which is to enjoy the moment more than I've ever enjoyed it, to enjoy this moment, after this, to enjoy that moment, whatever that would be with whoever that would be, and to take a little bit more time with those at the lower levels of life that just want not how are you and move on, but how are you? Am I prepared to invest a how are you for just 20 seconds? Because I'm you. I'm worse than you. Without the grace of God, I'm a monster left to myself. So I thank God what I've been saved from. But then I can become self-puritanical and talk about this, that, and the other. So I don't like to look back as the monuments in my life, but I want to look forward to the destination. And I think my calling is out there and I'm moving to that. Mm-hmm. But thank you for what you said for the children. I look at some of Zimbabwe's children today. One case in point, a friend of mine's adopted this little baby that was thrown out. this little guy, Tavongwa, today, you can't recognize him. He's just a new kid. He's full of life. He's purpose. He doesn't eat sugar. He does this because daddy says. And I'm like, man, the man who adopted him, at first I was watching this, and now I'm saying, that was your calling. Left real estate to do it. And it's not the Africa with snotty noses and teary eyes. It's the Africa growing. But I do believe we've got brokenness. I've had it in my own life, so I can identify.
Mm.
But the transition I'm into is one, and I'm loving the freedom.
Mm. Talk to me about that freedom. Where does it come from? What is birthing this freedom?
Thanks, Trevor. I think I've moved from a passion to market brands and companies to market country and its people. And I hold it very lightly. But when I started the agency, I always understood it was a microcosm of marketing and of communication and of this dyadic that goes back and forth. But I knew that Zimbabwe from Rhodesia hadn't had closure, just like the farming reform has not had the completion. It's had a reform, but the reform lacks the final victory. I see us being a lighthouse to the nations, out of this nation. South Africa, unfortunately, has taken a trail. I don't know if the others and the darlings of Africa like Rwanda will keep it going. I think we're at a precipice. We can sell our souls. We can look east only, or we might look west, but I'd say best would be to look inside. And then we can unleash out together. And COVID showed us this, that neither you nor me will welcome anywhere else. We have to get our hospitals right, etc. And to that also, I need to say thank you to Dr. Tagwere, because without his hospital, I would have been dead.
Hmm.
He didn't know me. I didn't know him. I just went in as an ordinary Zimbabwean, spent 18 days. In
Is this Kuda Tagwere?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I watched my mother die a few beds down the line. They did everything to save her. I thought I had food poisoning. It was actually COVID that turned into a critical pneumonia. But I saw people serve me. And at 2 a.m, some of the hands that would be cleaning and the hygienists, I thought, oh my God, this is the nation I love.
You've said it quite a number of times. It's clear your love for this nation, but it's also clear your discomfort with certain aspects of who we've become. And you've said this when you took over as the president of the Zimbabwe Golf Association, that the game has been divided between white and black. You are passionate about reconciliation. How do we, and you talk about a fundamental thing, that the land reform has not been concluded, still an ongoing process. There's a lot of wounds. Mm. There's a lot of healing that's required. Mm. I share your passion and excitement about what this nation can become. Only when we look inside of us, what is inside of us, what God has deposited in us. How do we heal as a nation? When I'm a white farmer, land taken away, I'm staying in Bordel or whatever, and this is not what I wanted to do. I'm still old.
Mm.
My farm was taken away, and I take certain people responsible for where I am. How do we heal when a young person from Matabeleland says, "I don't know where my father was buried.
Mm.
I don't have a birth certificate because of what happened during Gukura Wound." What do you do when how do you heal when a young man in Karoi says, "They cut my mother's arm, and I don't know what happened. Nobody's been ever brought to account." There's so much hurt, black on white, white on white. How do we heal and move forward?
What comes to mind is we have to go to the authentic, to the original, to the inception point. From one man, every nation of man has been birthed. From one man, unless, of course, you believe we have these super jumps between evolutionary gaps that I think are excuses where scientists can't answer the question. I think it's more plausible that we came from one man. And if we came from one man, Trevor, we are immediately distant family. I can no longer judge you as a non-man. You are a man, and I am a man. And I cannot hide behind my ethnicity, my religious practices or any other of my problems in life, I have to look at you and give you, as the scriptures say, consider others greater than yourself. It doesn't say that they are greater.
No.
It just says consider.
Mm.
And that applies to when I get out and drive past a commuter taxi who's just parked in front of me. Consider others. If I consider you as a man and you consider me, suddenly everything else is stripped away and we build from there.
Simpler said than done. Simpler said than done. How do we practically do that?
Right. So if I was to bring back dignity, let's say I've hurt you and I know I've hurt you. A sorry on my part is a huge gap. I'm now this much closer to you. Trevor, would you forgive me?
Mm.
Would you forgive what my fathers did to you? Would you forgive me? I can't take full responsibility. I wasn't, but would you forgive me? And even my arrogance. Now you might take one step and say, Gary, you know what? I'm a bit bombastic myself. Would you forgive me? All right. I don't have to agree with you, but I'm now at a point where the animosity is down.
Mm.
And I'd love to host this and be part of it with you and others. And then we come to the substantive. And that's where I would sell the solution, vision. See, if we have a vision that's bigger than our problem, and both of us can agree to
that
vision.
Before we get to the vision.
Yes.
I like the reconciliation.
The humans.
Yeah. The owning up.
Yeah.
Owning up not because you are going to be prosecuted or persecuted, but because you are human, you are taking responsibility for what you did. And there's somebody reciprocates on the other side. And we draw the line on the sand and we move on. We haven't done this, Gary, as a nation. From UDI, we have not done this as a nation.
And
from
yet,
Gukurahundi.
And yet I'll sit with men that were arch enemies having a beer together, Trevor, and I look at the healing. I've had the privilege of launching the president's book, thinking, why am I here? And then I'm reading that he was incarcerated for 10 years. So I just take that at face value. I've heard about Nelson Mandela, but I haven't heard about EDs.
Mm.
Now, I know about Gurukundi, but before we get there, I want to get to understand the whole problem.
Mm.
But I don't want to stay at the problem. The problem is there. Healing is available, but I believe there's a vision that can get us past.
Let's get to that vision. How does that vision look like? How do we articulate it?
Right. Practically, someone out there saying, I don't want to hear from Gary Thompson because it's going to affect my trucking business. It's going to stop my empire. It's going to hold it. Hold, hold, hold. The vision is so big, you're going to make more money than you've ever
Absolutely.
Made.
Absolutely.
You're going to be more wealthy than you can imagine. And you're going to have wealth that lasts. And you're going to be able to reconcile the things that are coming to bite your now rather than your generation
I
down the
that.
Line.
I
so get
that.
Off your high horse. The money ain't lasting the next generation if it's not got foundations today. So I look at my kids. I'm like, I've got a little bit of time left. Let's give them the best shot.
Mm.
Try and give them the best principles. So coming back to your point, whether it's Gurukahundi or whether it's land, hey, let's just reform the reform and complete it. We'll make more money than we've ever made. Of course, I've got a plan.
Mm.
But the fact is we've got to communicate differently to the world. The world, Trevor, is not listening to how we speak at the Politburo or how we speak on a hill. It's speaking the way it hears itself. We have got to come in with a new form of communication. And if we do it.
And we think we are important to the world. Disorganized as we are. We are not. The world is getting on without us. It's important that we organize ourselves.
We're important to each other.
Exactly.
I have emotional connection to who you are beyond
exactly.
this. And I acknowledge where you've come from.
Exactly. So for me, you've triggered me. The young people say you've triggered me. It's a question of you and I as Zimbabweans, the 16 million of us, realizing that when we get together.
Stop. That's the greatest error we've got right now.
Okay.
Because we've had this paradigm. And I would submit to you, we're not 16 million people, Trevor. What about the 6 million that are living in the diaspora, whose hearts, whose souls,
I stand
whose
corrected.
Dollars?
We
are 20-plus million people
I stand corrected.
Who are ready to be the greatest ambassadors on the planet for us, including 3,000 to 4,000 white farmers who would say, I never thought. But look what's happened in my beloved land. You won't get a plane to get back onto this place.
So
we'll be the number
20 million of us.
Plus.
My point is that the world will sit up and take us seriously
when we
get along
together. Yes,
whether it's 60 million or 20 million, but I stand corrected, 20 million, you're right. The people in the diaspora matter more than any of us ever factor them into what's happening.
And Trevor, they don't just matter because they send us money.
No.
RBZ's counting money. We're counting opportunities as marketers. I would submit they're human lives. There are sons and daughters who've given their best to the NHS. They should have been here. Mm. We've exported our best. Why don't we get them back?
That vision excites me. I mean, you haven't unpacked it, but for me, the future of this country, if we get it right, is quite amazing. And there's so much to go around for all of us.
Massive.
If we are visionaries.
I tell you, the man that's been a visionary in my life is this man, Pastor Tom. He's written this book. I wanted to give this to you. It's my copy, but it's yours, Trev, because I know that you're a man of words and reading and meaning. I think there's some principles in there.
We're going to go to books right away because you've handed me a book. We've got book lovers out there who absolutely love this show, particularly the tale of End of It because of the Trevor Book Club. We've created a WhatsApp group where people get together to discuss books. Nicole is going to put the link to the club below this video for you to join the club. And let's read, people. Let's read. It's important that we read. It widens our horizons. It's wonder. It widens the way we look at ourselves, the way we understand things that are taking place all around us. So let's read. Tom Duchel is my spiritual father. I got born again out in Milton Park when it was called was still called Rema.
Yeah.
That is where I was born again. So Tom has a special place in my heart.
He talks about you a lot.
Yeah, he's got a special place in my heart. So thank you for handing me this copy, Transforming Lives, Reforming Nations, Building the Kingdom from Pastor Tom Duchel. I'm going to read it. As I was thinking, what books do I bring up to recommend, since I'm talking to a passionate man like yourself, I thought of this book. And this book is How to Win Friends and Influence People. You do that very well. You do that very well. It's a book by Dale Carnegie. It's a book that has sold over 16 million copies, How to Make Friends Quickly and Easily, Win People Over to Your Way of Thinking, Improve Your Conversation Skills and Become More Entertaining, Acquire New Clients and Customers and Relationships. That's something that you do very well. Did you know that? You are amazing. You are a people person. Your people skills are absolutely amazing. So continue being who you are. That's why I picked up this book.
Thank you.
Then the other book is something that I'm really passionate about, which I don't think we do enough of, is taking good care of our health through what we eat, through exercising, taking good care of our mental state, not swiping, scrolling, what did you call it? Your WhatsApp and stuff, but reading stuff that real matters. This book was recommended to me by my pastor and good doctor, Dr. Matthew Wazara.
I love Matthew.
I love him too. So I love him more than you.
Is there a chapter in there that talks about having more sex?
Yes, there is.
I thought so. I love Matthew.
It's called Outlive, The Science and Art of Longevity by Dr. Peter Aitia with Bill Guilford. This is a medical doctor who's come to the conclusion that medicine is not practiced the right way, and has studied the whole practice. And he stresses the issues of at 20 years old, that's where you should worry about what you're eating.
Wonderful.
That's when you should worry about, exercising and that kind of stuff, because blood pressure, diabetes, heart attacks, the trend starts when you're 20.
Well, Trevor, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
did your parents and grandparents struggle with the same things we're struggling right now, health-wise?
Yes, they did. And I think for me, these are issues that my parents never spoke about.
Really?
These are issues that my grandparents never spoke about. And it's through reading that I'm beginning to make these issues that are important in my life. The other book that I recommend is a book by Ray Kurzweil on The Singularity Is Nearer, When We Merge With AI. And this guy has gotten right all the time about where technology is going, where it is taking us, and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You know, like you, I get disappointed by how much time we spend looking at our phones rather than looking at ourselves. How much time we spend on WhatsApp instead of reading an actual book. You know, I say on the show that if there's anybody who upsets me, somebody says, I saw something on WhatsApp. WhatsApp has never been a source of good quality news. So this is a great book for AI, written by somebody who works at Google. They do stuff. It's not from theory. It's from the work that he's doing. By the way, he works with our good James Manyuka.
Amazing.
James is the vice president of Google. And Ray Kurzweil works under
Amazing.
James Manyuka.
Amazing.
What books have you read that you'd love to recommend to our book loving audience out there?
I've had a few. I've alluded to Pastor Tom's, and I used to read a lot more than I wish I said I do now. But the book that I go to and that which I gravitate around right now is Scripture, because there is so much, Trevor, happening out there that takes my attention, that diverts me, that if I can get back to core Scripture, to the precepts, the promises, then I can understand. It makes sense to me. Oh, I see where we are in the timeline of history. I get a sense that there's a convergence of nations, that there's going to be essentially two sides coming, that there's going to be an era of lawlessness, but there's going to be a grace, that there's going to be a purifying, a group is going to rise up.
With the book that you go to.
It helps me practically, whether it's finance, relationship, other, and kids. And then I have to admit that I love history. I want to know why, so that I don't do it, because it makes life easier.
Yeah, which book would you recommend as far as history is concerned?
I'm using multiple sources right now, but what is really top of mind is the subject matter around Palestine.
Oh, right.
And whose ownership was it? And the kings that were in it, and the power plays, and it becomes very, very amazing when you put it together. Don't take at face value just one flipping video. Study for yourself.
Exactly.
And the second one is, as much as I talk about COVID, is medicine and health. You talked about it. I think part of what I sense is if we return to some of what we did food-wise and not what we're eating food-wise today, we would have longevity and we'd have less disease. And part of that is big pharma. And I would say, let's question the facts, the masks, the vaccines, all that we've been told. If it was brought to us again, Trevor, I'd like to believe with a little bit of learning, some of us are going to question.
Well, we all panicked into we'd never met this thing before.
Well, they say there's two forces that would compel a person to make a sale or to make a purchase. One is fear and one is aspiration. So you can show a beautiful woman in a car and you say, that's what I want. Or you're going to die from COVID if you don't get a vaccine now.
Yeah.
They both are trying to force you and dominate you. I would say get information.
Get information. Wonderful. What a conversation. What a conversation.
Trevor.
Thank you for creating the time. I never take this for granted.
I'm the one who's thankful to
you. Thank you for creating
the time. And also the fact my sister sent this all from the UK to me, my outfit, and we look similar, don't we? Like brothers.
Oh, beautiful. Remain sitting there and allow me to turn to our viewers who are all over the world to say thank you. We are close to 13 million views. Very close to 100,000 subscribers. We don't take that for granted. Thank you for your support. Keep watching. Remember, we are a weekly show. We are out every Monday. We're trying to give you some of the work that we've done over the past 7 years. So from time to time, we will rebroadcast a few episodes. And I get excited when I see you guys say, oh, you know, this is a good one, as if it was new. So keep on watching. Go below this video. Click to the group, to a link that will take you to the book club. Click to a link that will take you to our website where all of our content sits. for your viewing and listening pleasure. Until next time, cheers to you all.